Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And join in studio right now on the rare occasion where we can have a guest in here who has more rings than you, Ted.
That's it, man.
Jack's
that's
got
okay.
Four.
I'll take a back seat.
Big Teddy.
I got three.
Three.
Yeah. We got you, buddy.
Yeah,
we
can someone
plug him in?
Yeah,
need to plug him in there, Laura.
Yeah, there we go.
There
I think there's a volume knob right there. Is that better?
There we go.
Can you hear? Yeah.
Yes.
And then just speaking
there
to them.
It is.
Yeah.
You got three?
I got three, man. I got 01, 03, 04.
The Patriots, I love the Patriots, but I'm a Cowboys guy.
Okay.
But I love the owner of the Patriots, Mr. Kraft. He's a stand-up guy, man. Stand-up guy. Lets me sit in a suite. Great guy, but I'm a Cowboys guy.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I'm a Cowboys.
What do you think about you got no more Dez and Witten retiring? That's a lot of offense going out the door.
A lot of offense going out the door. Hopefully we bring in some new talented people that get us back on track. And I'm not one of these fans that like to switch every year. I've been a Cowboys fan since Too Tall Jones. Because you don't know this, but I started off playing football.
Did you?
Oh, my God.
Let me guess. Left tackle.
No. Nose guard and tight end.
The biggest tight end ever.
And, a guy your son size swiped me one day, and I didn't want to play any sports. Then my father comes in the house. This is around the same time John Kockak signs $15 million for 3 years. No, true story. Because football is my love. I used to play basketball because I was tall only, but never really loved it. I love football. So my father took me to watch this John Kockak guy play, and I saw he was making $5 million. And I was like, I'm as good as this guy is now. So I really started playing basketball. And if you look at my game, I brought a lot of physicality to the game. That's because my football roots.
A lot of football.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't really know that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't be from Texas and not play football.
And these people know San Antonio Cole High School, right?
San Antonio Cole.
Yeah. So. Man, what if you had stayed with football? Can you imagine what a great what if that is? At 7'3" or whatever you are?
If I couldn't have played tight end, I wouldn't have played.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had the hands to play tight end, though.
My hands are impeccable.
Well, man, it's great to have you in Houston, of course.
It, yep.
And, of course, Shaq.
I've been in Houston. I've been living here 20 years, dude.
I'm
Sugarland, Woodlands, Pearland. I live in Pearland now.
Okay, well, how many different places do you have?
I'm not going to answer that.
Okay, all right.
That's something you don't need to know.
None of our business.
You might be a male stalker.
That's fair enough. Well, welcome to this studio here in Houston.
Thank you. So
it's good to have you. And let's start with the Rockets. The last couple nights you guys have been in there doing your TNT stuff. And I said to Ted yesterday that to get the collective confidence of the city back, not only the Rockets need to win, but they probably need to make some kind of statement in that game. Do you feel like they made a statement where this is now a series they can stand toe-to-toe with these guys a little bit?
If they play the right way.
Meaning
that everyone has to be involved. Of course, we know their 1-2 punch is James and Chris Paul, but the others are going to have to step up. If you look at every great championship team, look at all the great plays. The others will always be involved in those plays. My favorite play from an other happens to be with Steve Kerr, Michael Jordan. They were in Utah, and Steve Kerr looks over to Mike. Hey, they're doubling you. When you kick it to me, I'll be open. And, you played on great championship teams. Of course, Tom is the man, but couldn't have did it without you blocking. He couldn't have did it without a tight end catching a great pass or, a guy, special teams getting a fumble, getting an interception. The others have to play well and have to be involved. In game one, the others were not involved. And, I felt that it was a lot of isolation ball, a lot of one-on-one ball. Yesterday, everybody was involved, and it was a different game. If they play like that, they have a chance to compete. I'm not going to say that they can win the series yet because Golden State, they're like a different type of juggernaut. They're the champs. They have that swagger. And when you knock them around, they step up. So the next game is going to be a test. However, if Houston plays like they played last night and they withstand the test that Golden State going to give them in game three and win, then I'll probably say that they can beat them. But, it's an if. If you play like you play in game one, you have no shot. If you play like you play in game two, you have a shot. And, a lot of people were you know, trying to force D'Antoni to change. I think when you hear the word change, you know, a lot of people, you change your offense. No, you don't need to change your offense, but a lot of guys need to be involved. P.J. Tucker had a great game. You know why? Because he was involved. He touched the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, Ariza, he touched the ball. You know, guys that, you know, play well. So if they're involved and everybody's playing well, they definitely have a shot.
Hey, Shaq, one of the others on this team, too, is that we haven't mentioned is Clint Capella. You know, he's, I don't know, I call him a new age kind of big man. He does things a little bit different. He doesn't put his back to the basket like you did. And just the, what do you think of Clint Capella on this team? And then maybe the future of, you know, the big man, guys like you moving forward in the NBA.
He does what he's asked to do, does what he's supposed to do, and he's going to make a lot of money doing that. Like you say, he's not the guy that, he's not me or Hakeem Olajuwon where you call a play for him and, you know, you isolate a side. But he's going to hustle. He's going to rebound. He's going to block shots. He's going to pick and roll. And whenever you give him, like, a little chippy at the basket, he's going to shoot at a high percentage. And that's the new era of the big man. Not really the big man I like, but. Well, this team, you know, fits them very well. Like on the East Coast, Aaron Baines, you know, he's a guy who's not going to get a lot of touches, but he does everything right. And he's added a little three-point shot. I never knew he could shoot like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's stepping out, hitting the three. And, you know, it's all about, you know, the surroundings of the team and, you know, who's on your team and, you know, how you pitch in and gel with the other guys. So, you know, for this type of team, he's a good fit.
How much will the Rockets and how they play over these next few games, because I think they can lose to the Warriors, but if it's a battle, you feel different going into the offseason than if it's, you know, they go to Oakland and they get killed in a couple games and they lose in five games. How much do these next few games dictate what Daryl Morey and the Rockets do this offseason with this team, in your mind?
I'm not sure. You know, in order to beat the champs, you definitely have to beat them. Rockets, they do have the pieces. You know, they have similar pieces. We have scorers. We have others. We have rebounders. We have defenders. If it goes to game seven and you play your heart out and you lose, you can live with that. But you don't want to lose, and, you know, in three games in a row and get beat by 15, get beat by 20. But they feel that they have the confidence that they can do it. And, you know, they have a little bit of an edge, not really edge, but, you know, this is Chris Paul's last season. So if I was a young player, I would love to be part of that story. You know, great guy who's never got this far. You know, when he kicks me a ball, I'm going to be ready for him. So, you know, hopefully they use all types of motivation to get over the top. But, you know, it's going to be a tough task.
Yep.
When you're a great shooter like Steph Curry and you keep missing, you keep missing, you keep missing, guess what's going to happen next?
Yeah, he's due.
They go
he's
in
due.
Eventually.
Due.
Yeah.
Due.
Yeah.
Really
yep.
do.
Yeah. Shaq, were you a lot of people were skeptical about Chris Paul coming here and how that was going to work with James Harden being so ball dominant. Are you surprised by how it's worked out with Chris Paul on this team?
I'm not surprised because both Chris and James are very unselfish guys. I knew that they can work together. It's all about conversation. And, you know, we as superstar players, at some point in our career, we realize we can't do it by ourselves. So it's nice to have another guy with your same mentality, with your same talent out there. And I forgot what game it was, but James wasn't having a good fourth quarter, and Chris just took over the whole fourth quarter. That's what it takes. You know, it takes, part of the 1-2 punch always has to play well, and then others play well. Like Tucker last night, 27 points. if I can get low 20s out of him, I like my chances.
No question. Mm-hmm. Shaquille O'Neal in studio with us here on Sports Radio 610. You mentioned that, you know, star players realize they reach a point where you need others to help you out. When was that point for you?
When I came here and got my ass handed to me by Olajuwon.
That early?
Yeah.
And so what did that do for you early, other than that realization?
It taught me a lot of things. First thing it taught me is never lose focus until the task is completed. Because before that, we beat the great Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that beats Michael Jordan, you should win, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we had about 8 days off. We were in Miami partying and Atlanta partying, and we just thought we had it because we had played the Rockets during the regular season and we beat them a few times, beat them easily. So I thought I had it, but then I didn't know that there was another level that you had to go to. And, you know, being losing like that in that fashion, getting swept, it taught me how to that there's always more. And it also taught me that once I get to the finals that I have to perform at a crazy level and to always ensure that I come home with the win. That's why, like, whenever I got to the finals, I had to put up crazy numbers.
Yeah, which you did. Absolutely. Yeah.
And if I didn't, ask this guy what I did to my own house if I didn't play well.
Oh, yeah?
Destroy it?
Just killed it, huh?
Yeah. Everything.
Flip tables and chairs.
Yeah, all that.
That poor furniture.
Yeah, all that.
Moving the furniture.
Yeah, so. Shaq, just as a follow-up to that, like here in Houston, I think around the NBA, when you take the 90s and they look at the 90s and they go, well, if Michael was around, he would have won 8 in a row. And people seem to ignore the fact that he did come back in 1995. He did hang over 50 on the Knicks in Madison Square Garden at one point, and that your Magic team did beat Michael Jordan. When you hear that narrative, what's your reaction to it?
Well, these conversations are always great. They're sort of like the Pythagorean theory. You don't really know the answer, right? Nobody knows what the Pythagorean, you know what it is?
I have no clue.
Smart Baylor guy. So these are questions that can never be answered. If Kobe played against Mike, what would you get? We'll never know. But, you know, I like to always take certain part of the conversation and try to break it down. If Jordan played in the era where there was no hand checking, you could probably add another 10, 11 points.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Wow.
If Jordan played in the era where when he went to the lane, you wasn't allowed to lay him on his back. So, like, you could, like, you know, plug certain, you know, narratives to the story, but to us it's just barbershop and homeboy talk. Stuff that you could... never answer. You know, what if Mean Joe Green was, you know, sacked Tom Brady? You know, the stuff that you can never answer.
Yeah.
Hey, Shaq, you played with LeBron there in Cleveland before he went to Miami. Just curious, I mean, did LeBron consult you? Did he talk to you about Miami, you know, and Pat Riley, what it would be like to play for them? Was there ever discussions about him going there after leaving Cleveland?
When I went to Cleveland, of course, I was older, but it was the first time that I didn't have to be in charge. Like, he was... And for a young guy, he had it on lock. He had his team on lock, organization on lock. The guys listened to him. The guys respected him. So for the first time in my career, I just had to say, okay, young guy, you take it. I'm the role player. And we were going pretty good. We were number one in the East. And then playing against Boston, and Big Baby breaks my hand. So I go out, and I come back in the playoffs. But I was never right. Yeah. And, you know, when you get older, like, you only got, you know, your window's very, very small. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, I always like to say to myself, if I didn't miss those 6 to 8 weeks, then, you know, we probably could have beat Miami, and then we would end up playing the Spurs in the finals, and I would have brutalized Tim Duncan, and, you know, we probably would have won. But he was a great leader, great guy, and, you know, led by example. You know, we all play with guys that just come in the locker room and like to yell and talk, but don't go out and perform. He wasn't that guy. He worked out before the game, after the game, took care of his body, but... Did he consult me? No. Like, he's always been the head of his organization ever since he came in. And that's how he's supposed to be, because whenever I wanted to make a move, I didn't consult anybody. I did what was best for me and my family.
Shaquille O'Neal joining us in studio here on Sports Radio 610. You're on a great team now on TNT. When you got there, that was already an award-winning studio show with Ernie and Kenny and Charles. I think we're always curious in this industry, because chemistry is so important on shows like yours, like this, whatever. What were you tasked with? What did the producers, people in charge, tell you when you came in as the fourth person on that three-person show that was already there?
The first year I did terrible because I wanted to be professional like you guys. And I sucked at it. So the producer brought
me. So do we. Don't feel bad.
No, you guys are good. Like, I heard, you know, what you talk about. You know, you guys are fair, and you guys speak from a lot of experience, which is always good. But the producer called me downstairs, and he ripped me a new one. He said, we didn't bring you here for that. I want you to be Shaq. Like, we don't have the show where you look in the camera and you do stats. We realize that if we're going to keep you up at 1, 2 in the morning, we got to make it enjoyable, make it fun. So when he said, I need you to be Shaq, that's all I needed to hear. So once I start doing that, then we definitely start taking off. I think we won 3 or 4 Emmys in a row. And, you know, it was a great show to be on. And I think because of our experience – people will listen to us a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Barkley was a hell of a player, Hall of Famer. Kenny, 2 championships with Houston, and people, you know, think they know my resume. And Ernie is just like you guys, consummate professional, notes, memorizes stuff, does that. And I think he's the gatekeeper of the show, and I think, you know, our show has a beautiful dynamic, and I think that's why people like us.
I Googled you before the show.
Oh, thank you.
That's what you asked me to do on TV when I was watching the other night.
Shaq, I mean, that's the fun part of that show, though, is just how kind of casual it is and how much you guys are just being yourselves up there. That's fun. And Ernie as cool as he seems to come across? I mean, he's the point guard, the best point guard as far as broadcasters is. Is he just cool as he seems to be?
Ernie is the coolest light-skinned black guy I've ever met in my life. Oh, he's not black, he's a white guy? So yeah, no, he's just cool. He's a really nice guy. I met Ernie in San Antonio when he came to interview me at my house. So when I went to work for TNT, he still had the picture when he was interviewing me. So he said I was always one of his favorite guys. He was always one of my favorite guys. He's the one guy that doesn't really cross the line in basketball. Like a lot of guys cross the line, and, you know, sometimes it's deserved, sometimes it's not. But I've never seen him cross the line and talk about any issue that doesn't need to be talked about.
Shaquille O'Neal joining us in studio. We were talking with the show before us. They heard that you were coming on with us. And what I said to one of their hosts was, I feel like if there were a Mount Rushmore of branding among athletes, you would be on it. And it started early for you. You were doing movies early. You were doing rap albums early. And I think it shows your brand, how strong you were at it, that you're still a pitch man for a lot of things here in retirement. Where did that come from for you? Was it just a self-awareness, or were you coached on that?
Well, I have to correct you. I'm not a pitch man. I own most of the companies that see me with. So when I was in college, I had a marketing class, and the professor said, present me something next week that you can see being sold all around the world. So I came in with Shaq shoes, Shaq underwear, Shaq shirt, Shaq everything. And the guy embarrassed me in front of the class. He said, oh, I see you put a lot of thought to this, but in your profession, big guys don't sell, it'll never work. Gave me an F. Mm. So I knew I was—
proved him wrong.
Yeah, so I knew I was going pro at some point, but I wanted to do commercials. I wanted people to see my personality. So I had to recreate everything. So I'm sitting there like, damn, we'll just be a player that gets one check. So I'm sitting there thinking, and this dumb dog comes on TV, Spuds McKenzie. So I see him, and I don't pay him no mind. So then I go to 7-Eleven, get a Slurpee. This dude has cups, right?
The dog.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The dog.
He has T-shirts. He has everything. He's everywhere. So then I go to another place. I go to a flea market, like he's everywhere. And I'm like, why do people like this? So I go back and watch his commercials. And I saw that all his commercials were funny. I was like, I'm funny. So if I ever get the chance to do a commercial, do a spot, I have to show my humor. And first commercial I did was a Pepsi commercial, a little kid. I'm showing my humor and been around ever since. And all the companies that I deal with are companies that I truly believe in. My Icy Hot story is one time I had a thigh injury. Guy rubbed Icy Hot on it. It raised to the big
man. Yeah, a little too close. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was hot. So when I met the president Icy Hot, he said, do you like our product? I said, yes, it works. Trust me, I know it works. So, you know, we did the deal. And, you know, 70% of all athletes, when they're done playing it, they have nothing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be like that. I have six kids, so I didn't want to be rich just to be rich. I wanted my kids to be able to look at me and say, hey, I'm proud of this guy. So I went back and got my master's, doctorate, and all that stuff.
Good
and,
for you.
So I just wanted to make them proud. So,
are you a sheriff still? Are you?
I was undercover until you just blew my cover.
Oh, okay. All right. My bad.
Jeez.
Sorry.
You could have said no.
Don't get me killed out here. I know where he's at. He's at Sports Radio 610. Right off 59. Yes, and I plan on running for sheriff in Henry County, Georgia in 2020.
Okay, well, you would be the most badass sheriff of all time. Let me tell you that right here. We'll let you go here in just a second.
I'm trying to get the willies, baby.
Yeah, no, I know.
Chicken fried steak.
Just one last
the big
thing.
One.
Well, they serve it to you right there at the studio desk. Yeah.
If it ain't big, I'll tell them to take it back.
I know you love Ernie, but were you kind of embarrassed about the way he went about that hot dog last night? Like the big hot dog they brought you guys?
Well, Ernie's proper. Ernie don't know how we do things down here in Texas.
Yeah.
You understand? You just got to grab that thing.
Get your hands dirty.
Yeah, get your hands dirty.
Yeah. I was a little...
I was going to say grab that thing and just put it in your
you
mouth.
Can.
I can't say that.
Don't specify which thing. Yeah, that's
you
all.
Just did.
Yeah. They also, on the post-game show last night, they did something that Ted has done to me before. Oh, yeah. We've gone on road trips to the Super Bowl, and when we've been forced to room together... Ted has taken the liberty of taking out his phone and snore shaming me. Mm-hmm. That's me snoring. Now, I've gotten it fixed. I've got a CPAP machine and stuff like that now.
I have it too, but I don't bring it all the time.
You don't? Okay, because they snore shamed you.
They
snore shamed you on the show last night. Did that?
Yours sound cute.
My girlfriend would vehemently disagree with you.
You sound like a bear. I sound like a wildebeest.
What do I sound? What am I like? Just like a squirrel or something?
No, you sound like a little cute little baby snuggly bear. A little baby Texas bear. South Texas baby bear.
On that note, well, you need to get to Willie's. And I guess on the way out here, predictions on either of these conference finals and how they're gonna go.
I can't tell yet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like the next games are crucial.
Yeah.
So after
for each of them, right?
So next week, if you want me to come back, I'll come back and have an answer for you.
Okay, would love that. Good, yeah, man. Let's do it. We'll get the answer from Shaq next week here on Sports Radio 610. Man, we know you're busy. We really appreciate you making time.
Oh, shut it up.
No, we really do appreciate it.
No, appreciate you,
Shaquille O'Neal.
Get your Willies, man.
Joining
Willies,
us here.
I'm on my way, baby.
Yeah,
the big one.
That's it. Clear out the freeway. Laura, get these freeways cleared for these guys. All right, Shaquille O'Neal in studio. Shaq, we appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks. All right. That's Shaquille O'Neal right here on Sports Radio 610.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.